This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Illinois lawmakers are mobilizing to protect students' civil rights. The latest, a new bill that would explicitly prevent police from ticketing students for minor infractions, like vaping and truancy. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. With us to explain what this bill would change, we had Jennifer Smith Richards, a reporter for ProPublica. She's been investigating police ticketing and fining in schools for the past 3 years. Back in 2015, schools were banned from issuing tickets and fines to students for misbehavior, but students are still being fined. So Jennifer caught us up on what's been happening.
The law in 2015 was pretty explicit that schools themselves could not fine students as a form of discipline. But what has happened since then is that schools have been partnering with police who can issue tickets. Mm-hmm. There's no particular prohibition on that. And they are issuing tickets to students for minor misbehavior that runs up against local municipal ordinances. So if your local municipality has a law in the books that says you can't be truant, we're going to fine you, or it's illegal to have a vape, you know, or tobacco in school, then that gives them the entry point to write a ticket that often is very, very costly for students.
So, and to clarify, these students, they're not getting legal representation when these tickets are being issued, are they?
They largely are not. And that's because these are not crimes in the way that we think of them. So when you get a ticket, you go through a kind of a quasi-judicial system where you're going before an administrative hearing officer. And a lot of times, you know, people don't have lawyers for these sorts of low-level infractions. It's a ticket. It comes with a fine, no threat of jail time. So it's very uncommon for a lawyer to get involved and represent a student or anyone, really, who gets a ticket.
You mentioned this being costly. How high are these fines?
So Illinois law caps a municipal ordinance violation at $750. And the range is massive. But we saw, you know, in our reporting over the years that there were tickets that were coming with $450 fines, $600 fines,
really?
$750 fines. And
for vaping and truancy?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Or possessing small amounts of cannabis. Those are coming with fines. And when they go unpaid, those fines start to accumulate and fees accumulate. And we saw quite commonly that students and their families would be sent to collections when they did not pay the fines.
Yeah, so this is impacting the families as well, not just the kid that's getting the ticket in the first place. Yes. Do we have any idea where this money is going? Is it like a parking ticket?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people have asked us throughout our reporting, myself and my partner, Jody Cohen, are the schools benefiting from getting this ticket revenue? And the answer is no. The money is going back to the municipality. And what we were able to track down in some municipalities is that the money just simply goes to fund the system, the system of ticketing and tracking and then adjudicating each ticket, to pay for the hearing officer and the clerks and so forth.
So Illinois lawmakers have been trying to stop ticketing in schools for years now, especially since your 2022 ProPublica and Chicago Tribune investigation.
Right.
Why did previous attempts fall through? Walk us through that.
Yeah. We had two attempts in 2023 and 2024, that took different approaches to how to limit schools' ability to work with police and issue tickets for discipline. There were many concerns raised, but the primary one was that people were worried they wouldn't be able to call police in a major incident, or if there was an actual crime occurring on campus, if there were violence, if a child brought a weapon to school, mm-hmm. people were worried that they would be prohibited from engaging with police. Now, that wasn't the intent of any bill that's been introduced, but this one is a little bit different in that it explicitly tackles that concern.
Okay. So if the legislation is passed, police can arrest students for crimes.
Yes.
Or violence, as you put it, but they can't ticket the students for violating local ordinances.
Exactly.
And so that distinction, what do you make of that, and how do you think it's going to impact how schools respond?
Right. So the way that this bill is worded, you know, at this moment, and again, it's very early in the process, but the way it's worded is it says explicitly, schools, you can still call police for crimes, for major incidents, but you should not be involving police in matters like having a vape pen, things that typically would be handled, you know, by the principal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we remember when you were in school, if somebody brought cigarettes to school.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That was straight to the office.
Straight to the office. Right. But that's sort of where it ended. There wasn't a call to police to come out and ticket. And so the language that's out there right now is much clearer that nothing prohibits schools from calling police when they need police. It does prohibit schools from having police ticket students mm-hmm. for these minor, you know, again, municipal ordinance violations.
Right. So the latest bill was introduced this week by the Illinois House. It's supposedly taking that new approach that you just talked about. And a second bill is expected to be filed in the Illinois Senate today.
Right.
Any difference between those?
They're very similar. The intent is very similar. I think, you know, there has been debate about the best way to approach it. What exactly do we want to prohibit?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to prohibit police from, you know, interacting? Do we want to prohibit schools from doing something? So there's going to be a debate about ultimately what gets put into law.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the intent will be very similar. You know, a key provision is that, you know, Illinois schools would be able to collect information about how police are interacting with students on campus and then report that to the Illinois State Board of Education. And that is new and is really important to the people backing this bill.
Jennifer, are there patterns when it comes to who is getting fined?
Yes, and that's key to, you know, what advocates and lawmakers are really concerned about.
What are we seeing?
There are patterns, right? There are patterns in who is ticketed and for what reasons. And what we found in our reporting and what lots of research has found about discipline in general is that Black and Brown students are targeted with discipline and tickets much more often than their white peers. So they are being disproportionately, you know, affected mm-hmm. by the ticketing process, by fines and fees, and ultimately things like collections. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Black and Brown students who are twice as likely than their white peers to be ticketed in Illinois.
And just going back to your example earlier, I'm definitely thinking about my day, you know, being in school, growing up, and just kind of remembering what the disciplinary process looked like at mm-hmm. that time. And so I wonder, I mean, is it a sign of the times? Like, why do schools these days tend to call police when they're trying to address just student misbehavior? Why does that even come to mind as an option?
One reason is that police are there, right? So when we were in school and when a lot of people were in school, there may not have been a police officer stationed in the building.
That's right. I don't even know where the nearest police station was to my
right.
high school.
But now,
middle school,
most high schools, the majority of high schools do have a school-based police officer. So some of it is simply proximity. The police are there in the building, and their job is to enforce the law.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one reason. And the other reason is that I think schools really do grapple with student behavior and what the best way to manage it is. You know, how do we, you know, stop behaviors that are unwanted?
Mm-hmm.
And they sometimes view policing as a good tool and potentially a good deterrent and a good form of punishment. You know, thinking that if we ticket a student and it's, you know, painful to pay a $100, $200 fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe they won't repeat this behavior.
And the presence of the officer, too, in the building, it's meant to be a safety aspect, right? It's viewed upon as, oh, this keeps us safe.
Exactly. And those police officers, that is their mission. If you talk to a school resource officer or the organization in our state that gathers, you know, that holds all those officers together, they speak about wanting to be a resource for children, wanting to have connections and build relationships with children. They don't necessarily want to be writing students tickets for things like truancy and vaping.
So this legislation, then, it's aimed at shutting down the school-to-prison pipeline. Do you think that it's an effective way to tackle this?
That ticketing is an effective way
Removing this option of police ticketing, is that an effective way to sort of interrupt that school to prison pipeline that was happening?
I mean, that's the hope of advocates and lawmakers, is that removing this point at which students have interactions with police mm-hmm. that they wouldn't typically have, or they wouldn't have, you know, in past years, removing that moment where they're interacting with police and then going before somebody who looks like a judge
yes.
and feels like a judge, that removing that will be consequential in interrupting that school to prison pipeline.
Sure. So there's a lot of uncertainty right now, especially around the future of the Department of Education.
Yes.
Talk about why it's important, Jennifer, in a time like this for Illinois to collect data on how schools are interacting with law enforcement.
Well, just to be, you know, to be frank about it, we're not sure if the federal government is going to continue collecting what little data it already does collect about schools and police. So what the department has signaled and what, you know, the Trump administration has signaled is that they're less interested in enforcing race discrimination, for example. Mm-hmm. And so I think the lawmakers and advocates here in Illinois are looking for ways to make sure that civil rights data continues to be collected and that we have a clear understanding of how often police are interacting with students and frankly, why in schools. And so, you know, they very frankly came out and said that they wanted to Trump-proof the civil rights of students in Illinois.
Yeah. Well, do you think it seems like these bills will pass?
There is a lot of energy around it right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the key groups in the state that, you know, have often weigh in on issues of student and student discipline, they seem to be largely supportive, at least of the goal. So you have the Illinois State Board of Education and the state superintendent and even the governor have mm-hmm. come out and said that ticketing really must end. It is not helpful for students. In fact, it's harmful. Yeah. So I think there is a lot of energy around this movement, and we'll have to wait and see what happens.
While there might be concerns, we are seeing lots of support, it seems.
I think there's certainly a willingness, yes, and a willingness to debate how to do this and get it done.
Well, as we said off the top, I mean, you've been investigating police ticketing and fining in schools for years now. School issues, of course, that continues to be on your assignment list. I mean, anything you can tease about what else you might be looking into?
I mean, Jody and I are of course, very interested in the way that civil rights enforcement may change going forward. And we're always interested in ways that schools are finding to discipline students. So we're always listening and always looking and learning about that.
And we'll keep an eye out for that reporting. We've been talking with Jennifer Smith Richards, who's a reporter for ProPublica. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert Baer. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. We speak with local journalists to take us deeper into their reporting and better understand the political landscape of our current moment. Hit subscribe to stay up to date wherever you listen, or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We appreciate you tuning in.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.